Be seated and turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. We're going to be reading from verses 1 to verse 16. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. We read these words. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was of my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Which is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, and I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is from faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings and becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that God will make you clearer. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. These are great words from Paul, and look forward to hearing what God's Word has to say to us this morning.
That God gives new things all the time. At the end of 60 seconds, you get a brand new minute. At the end of 60 minutes, you get a brand new hour. At the end of 24 hours, you get a brand new day. At the end of one day, or at the end of 7 days, excuse me, you get a brand new week. At the end of those weeks, you get a new month. At the end of 12 of those, you get a brand new year. And that's what we're here for. And you will notice on your bulletins, normally we have a little picture on those bulletins, but today there is no picture there. And that was done with a reason. That was done so that we might realize that this year that lies before us, we will have the opportunity to fill in what takes place and how we respond and how we react to circumstances that we come up against. It's going to be a year that is filled with opportunities. It's going to be a year that is filled with, yes, trials and testings. It's going to be a year that is filled, however, with the presence of God. And if we will simply submit ourselves totally and completely to Him, as He gives us every new opportunity, we will see amazing things happen for God's kingdom. But if we're going to sit, soak, and sour, and determine that I'm not going to be what God wants me to be, we're going to have a year that is filled with frustration. We're going to have a year that is filled with anger. We're going to have a year that is filled with disappointment and discouragement. What do you want? You see, the choice is yours. I'm choosing to look at the year 2012 as a year of opportunity, as a year to serve God and to perhaps be able to be used by Him to make a difference in this world. I want to share with you very briefly before we have communion. I want to share with you five things about a new opportunity. I want to share with you the knowledge. Thank you, sir. I want to share with you the knowledge. Secondly, the known goal. Third, the known pursuit. Fourth, the known's possession. And then fifth, the known path. So let's look at these things in Philippians chapter 3. Notice first of all the knowledge. Look at verses 10 and 11 of this third chapter. Paul writes this. He says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death," now catch this, "in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." The knowledge. What Paul is saying here is he's saying, I would rather know Christ and in knowing Him be able to have the knowledge and the assurance of resurrection glory when this life is done. The end of this year, should God tarry, there'll be another brand new year that comes along. And it'll be like being resurrected. It'll be a clean slate. We'll have the opportunity then to fill that year with the will of God. But in the meantime, we're going to have to walk the paths that God establishes for us. As individuals, when you walk into your place of work, God is going to give you great opportunities to be able to serve Him. Are you going to be willing? When you meet with family and friends, God is going to be giving you great opportunities to serve Him. Are you going to do it? As you walk into stores or wherever you have to go, you're going to have opportunities. Are you going to honor God with your speech? Or are you going to choose not to? You see, Paul is talking here about a known path. He knows that if he's going to have resurrection glory, he must have Christ-like example. And he must be a Christ-like example. And that means that he has to be faithful to what God has called him to be and to do. And it's the same for every one of us. Do we want to have resurrection glory? If we do, then we must have the knowledge of Christ, to know Him fully, to know Him deeply, to know Him completely as we are known by Him. We must commit ourselves to being what He wants us to be. Secondly, you notice that there's a known goal. Look at verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." The known goal. Paul says, he's saying here basically that although he has not obtained perfection or have already become absolutely perfect in all of his wisdom and in all of his knowledge, his intentions are going to be pure, and they are going to be perfect. He says, I'm going to press on. I might stumble, but I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to stumble and stay, but instead, I'm going to get up and press on. When you have a disappointment or a discouragement, what do? Do you stumble and stay? Or do you get up and press on? What are you going to do? Well, if you're going to follow the will of the Lord, you're going to get up and press on. Because there is a known goal that has been placed before you. And that goal is to be like Jesus. And to be Christ-like and His example in this world. So press on. Press forward. Forget what lies behind you. And press on to what God has in store for you. Number three, I want you to notice the known pursuit. Look at verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The known pursuit, the call of God. What has God called you to? I'm not talking what has God called you to as a profession. I'm talking about what has God called you to. He has called you out of a world of sinfulness into a life of righteousness. Are you going to honor that call? He has called you out of sin and out of darkness into His glorious light. Are you going to walk according to that light? He has called you into a life of faith. Are you going to honor that faith? We were talking in the Sunday school class this morning where Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy. And he says, look, the things that you have heard and seen in me, he said, you teach these to faithful men. Who are then, in return, are going to teach that to others. And the Greek word there that is translated faithful is the word heteros. And it means of a different caliber. You know what? God has called us to be men and women of a different caliber than what the world is. He has called us to be godly examples in a godless world. He has called us with a holy calling in order that we might impact this world for Christ. It's kind of insinuated in what Jesus taught when He talked about letting our light shine before men. That men might see the light of God's righteousness in us and be able to change and have change in their lives. Folks, that's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to be a light that shines in a world of darkness so that people might come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's our pursuit. Our pursuit is for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. To be made over into the image of Christ in everything that we do. Number four, I want you to notice the known's possession. Look at verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect. Now that's an interesting little statement. We're going to look at that in a minute. As many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. The known's possession. Paul already said, look, not that I am already perfect. And then he turns right around and said, as many as are perfect. So what's he talking about? He's talking about, in the first aspect, he's talking about the absolute perfection that an individual will have at the resurrection when we're made over into the image of Jesus Christ. In this, he is talking about we can be perfect in our attitude. We can be perfect in our pressing on to be all that God wants us to be. In other words, our intentions can be totally perfect to follow God and to honor Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying. Look, as many as are perfect, if you have the attitude of Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are absolutely perfect for what God wants to be able to use you for. He has called you to be a witness and an example, and you can be perfect in that. You possess, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you possess the very Spirit of God within you to be able to help you, to give you wisdom, to give you discernment, to give you faith, to give you courage. You are perfect in that regard. You are perfect. Don't cheapen the grace of God by following the lie that says you're no good. Take the I can'ts out of your vocabulary and place in there, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can. We somehow have got to get out of this mindset of I can't and determine that the possession that is within us, the very Spirit of Christ Himself, the very Holy Spirit of God, can do everything in us and help us to be what God wants us to be. The known's possession. If you are known by God, you possess in you the very Spirit of God. Number 5, I want you to notice now, last, the known path. Look at verse 16. Paul writes this, however, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. What standard? Standard of righteousness, the standard of holiness, the standard of filling by the Spirit of God in wisdom, discernment, love, purity, faith, and hope. That's the standard. That's the known path. You know, God doesn't allow us to continue to walk in a mindset of, well, I didn't know that was sin, or I didn't know that was wrong. No, He doesn't do that. When the Holy Spirit indwells you, you know when you've sidestepped the will of God. You know when you have sidestepped the purity of God. You know when you have sidestepped anything that God has for you. Because He is faithful. He is righteous to reveal to us any sin in our lives. He is powerful to cleanse us and to wash us from all sin and to make us what He wants us to be. That's our path. The known path is to walk in the light of Christ and on the road of righteousness. New opportunity. Today would be the perfect day, the first day of the year, to commit yourself, personally and privately to a walk in faith and obedience to God. And watch what amazing things God does in you, for you, and through you.